Our scripture lesson for this morning continues with verse 14 through 21 of the second chapter of Acts. Listen once more to the word of the Lord. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, for the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we gather as your people here in this place. Your church gathered from east and west and north and south. Be with us now and stir in our hearts once more that we may draw near to you in this time of worship. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Why are we here? It's a question that has confounded philosophers and scientists alike in their shared search for meaning. Are we here to fulfill a divine mandate, participate in some heavenly plan? Are we here to further a species, to play our small part in a complex biosystem? Are we here to create, to make art, to solve ethical problems, to advance technology, to write novels? Are we here to contribute, to use our gifts for the well-being of others, to nurture, to teach, to guide? Or are we just here, a random collection of atoms, cells, formed together as a human being simply trying to survive? German philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein said, "I don't know why we are here, but I'm pretty sure it is not in order to enjoy ourselves." So why are we here? Physicist Jim Holt suggests that we are here because we have, in essence, hit the cosmic lottery. He says our existence would seem amazingly improbable because there is an enormous number. I'm going to read this because I'm quoting a physicist here. Because there's an enormous number of genetically possible humans. If you can compute it by looking at the number of genes and the number of alleles and so forth, and back of the envelope calculation will tell you that there are about 10 to the 10,000th possible humans genetically. And the number of humans that have actually existed on this earth is only 10 billion, maybe 50 billion. An infinitesimal fraction. He goes on to say, the universe is absurd, but we can still construct a purpose, and that's pretty good. So here we are, improbable people forming a purpose out of an absurd universe. Now our scripture for this morning takes us to the intersection of improbable and absurd, doesn't it? Our story for this morning comes equipped with a windstorm from heaven, descending tongues of fire, unleashing prophetic speech, and startling understanding. Where once there was division, as Jews from every nation under heaven heard the disciples speaking and understood them in their own tongue. We are now in the last days, declares Peter, the time of which the prophet foretold, where God's Spirit is sent to dwell among and within God's people. We are in a radical season of rebirth, of awakening. Men and women, young and old, servant and free, will dream dreams, see visions, and proclaim God's word. They will notice God at work within and throughout all of creation, and God will work wonders, offering unpredictable and astonishing signs, indicators that God is with us. This Pentecost chaos brought rebirth as the Spirit brooded over the waters at the dawn of creation. The Spirit once more ushers in new life. Confusion brings clarity. Chaos brings call. God was on the move, arriving in unpredictable, unexpected ways, but always bringing about new life, redeemed life once more in this eye-opening and terrifying spectacle. On Pentecost, it became clear that God's dynamic Spirit could not be controlled or managed. Simply, it could be received. Our text for this morning reminds us of the catalytic event that birthed the church. A post-ascension community learns that God is still at work among them. At this time, God's proximity draws even nearer than it did when Jesus Christ walked on earth and lived among them as their friend and teacher. This time, God dwells in them, works through them. Hope is not lost. The story has not ended, but rather God is faithful still. But now it's the disciples, scared, confused, not knowing what comes next, who are the ones who must bear God's message to the world. They will bear witness to the reality that God is present in and through ordinary people in extraordinary ways. Barbara Brown Taylor writes this: the disciples had sucked in God's own breath, and they had been transformed by it. The Holy Spirit entered them in the same way it entered into Mary, the mother of Jesus, and for the same reason. For it was time for God to be born again. Not in one body this time, but in the body of believers who would receive the breath of life from their Lord and pass it on, using their own bodies to distribute the gift. Now, this text goes on to say that 3,000 were baptized that day. The community that we have come to know as the church was born. People shared their possessions in common. They broke bread together. They engaged in study of the word and caring for one another as they prayed diligently. The fundamental identity of this community was grounded in God, at the heart of who they were as individuals, and at the heart of their church together. The Spirit made them one. So why are we here? Why did we wake up this morning and put on our red clothes and gather to celebrate Pentecost at East Liberty Presbyterian Church? Why is this an important place to be? Why do we draw together for worship? Why are we here now? There are lots of ways we can answer this question, and you might have your own answer that stirs in your heart. Maybe we're here because someone invited us, or we wanted to see these glorious windows from the inside looking out, or to see the streamers that decorate our sanctuary today. Maybe we're a relative or a friend of one of the youth being confirmed this Sunday. Maybe we like the music, or because we know that this is a congregation of friendly people. Maybe we're here because we have a sense of duty that sticks on our hearts since the time we are children that says that church is where you need to be on a Sunday morning. Frankly, for some of us, showing up in this space may be a radical act of courage. Many of us have known wounding at the hands of congregations and religious leaders who have espoused the conviction that some of us didn't belong. Some of us have heard it said that women don't have the right to speak in church, that homosexuality is a sin, and that worth is measured according to skin color. And some of us have been left to wonder how we might reconcile our belief in a loving God with our painful encounters with people who have hurt us in God's name. But somehow, in spite of those wounds, we feel drawn to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. In spite of our fear and because of God's grace, we have refused to give up on ourselves, on others, or on God. Many of us are here today because we want to believe that God still works in our world, and that God might even work through us. We're here because we have hope against hope that God's power is meaningful in a world where there is still so much that goes wrong. We're here because we believe that we are more than a random collection of molecules adrift in a lonesome universe, but that we are inexplicably a part of something more. And we're here because there's something about a life of faith that just has to be lived together. Faith alters our identity and transforms the quality of our relationships. With faith, we want to be better. We want to forgive and be forgiven. We are filled with gratitude, and we see that it is possible that even with our brokenness and limitations, we can be made whole. This transformation cannot occur fully in isolation. Even those called to a vocation of monastic living live in community. God's Spirit calls us out of the isolation of our sin and brokenness and into a place of radical acceptance and prophetic hope. With the knowledge that we are loved, we reach out in love to others. Anne Lamott writes this. She says, "When I was at the end of my rope, the people at St. Andrew's tied a knot in it for me and helped me hold on. The church became my home in the old meaning of home. That is where, when you show up, they have to let you in. They let me in, and they even said, 'You come back now, okay?'" She says of her church, "I saw something that said a human life is like a single letter of an alphabet. It can be meaningless, or it can be part of something of great meaning. Our funky little church," she says, "is filled with people who are working for peace and freedom, who are out there on the streets and inside praying and are at home writing letters. And they are at the shelters with giant platters of food." We gather here today because being a church gives us hope. We trust that the Spirit of the living God will show up here too. If God is true to God's self, God's Spirit will show up. When we profess God's claim on Chloe, who's over here, as she enters into the waters of baptism, God shows up when we honor the gifts of seven teenagers in these front two pews who will profess their faith in a God whom they, in their own words, have characterized as forgiving and a God who welcomes all. We trust that God will show up when we sing the songs that the saints have sung, and when we sit in silence, and then when we gather and eat bread together. We trust that God will show up when we offer our best selves, even things like our hard-earned money, our earnest prayer, our smile of acceptance, our helping hand. See, it happened all those years ago, and it's happened since then too. When the Spirit of God showed up, divisions dating back to the Tower of Babel ceased. The barriers that tore people up, that created turf wars and superiority complexes, released a part of their hold. See, the Spirit's wild wind tore down those walls and opened up gateways for understanding and for the possibility of peace. So we can trust that God shows up here too. Even when we mess up, even when the community of the church universal or the larger human family or individuals or groups seem fractured and impaired, it's not because we've earned God's presence that God shows up. But it's just because God is like that. God promises to be with us and is with us through it all. Richard Rohr writes this: to span the infinite gap between the divine and the human, God's agenda is to plant a little bit of God, the Holy Spirit, right inside of us. Maybe we can say plainly that we are here today because God has planted the Holy Spirit right inside of us. That God's Spirit has called us and claimed each one of us in the midst of the cyclones of our lives or in the midst of that still small voice. By the power of the Holy Spirit, our singular lives have great meaning. An expression through the voices of justice as agents of peace, as expressions of welcome that change a life and change the world. May we, improbable, absurd, beautiful, redeemed people of God, breathe in God's own breath and be changed. And then may our own lives distribute this gift with joy to all corners of this world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Included in your bulletin is an affirmation of faith that is comprised of aspects of the statements of faith from our 7 confirmation students. I invite you to stand as you're able and to join us as we read together this affirmation of faith. I believe that there is one triune God, maker of heaven and earth, and we were made to live in God's image. There is God as the Creator, God as Jesus Christ, and God as the Holy Spirit. I believe that God is inclusive, loving, and forgiving. I believe that God the Father created us to serve others and perform His will. God created all living creatures with good intentions. When we turn away, however, God still loves and cares for us, regardless of our actions. Without God, I have no purpose, no meaning. God loves everyone and does not care about skin color or wealth, which is amazing. Jesus Christ was God's Son and is my Lord and Savior. God came to earth in human form as Jesus Christ, who taught lessons through parables and preaching. Jesus Christ was God's Word, God's voice to spread God's love. He performed miracles for the people of earth and was caring and loving to all. He died on the cross for us as a sacrifice for our sins. He overcame death through His resurrection, but left us with the gift of the Holy Spirit to help lead us. Through accepting Jesus' teachings and sacrifice, we allow ourselves to be molded into the people that God wants us to be. The Holy Spirit is our advocate and helps us to love and be loved. God, as the Holy Spirit, sustains us by giving us strength in times that we are weak, grants us wisdom to help us in times of discernment, and guides us spiritually and internally. Without the Holy Spirit, we might have the Word of God, but not be able to act upon it or understand it. The Holy Spirit is the guiding force in life. We can experience the Holy Spirit in different ways, like through a feeling of connection or knowing you belong. The Holy Spirit is important to the church because it gives us the assurance that God is not only present in our church, but also our everyday lives. To me, the Holy Spirit is the mystery of faith. The church has always been in my life for as long as I can remember. The church is a place of worship. The church is never a place of violence or hate. The church is the house of God, a teaching place, but most importantly, a place of acceptance for all. It just makes me feel safe. God calls me to care and love everyone, forgive all, and use my gifts to serve our communities and many others. God helps us, lead us, when we do not know which way to turn. Because of what I believe, I promise to love, worship, and serve our Lord. This is just the start of a long journey, but I have faith in God to help guide me through a troubled world. I know I have a long way to go. Life will be filled with doubt and questions, but that's okay, because every day my faith grows. Amen.